Thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God.
Yes.
Forever be praises to him.
Yes.
Honor and glory and praise. We bless his holy name. Let's go ahead and start right away with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have made.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, so much for another day of life. For us, Lord, to enjoy here, Lord, in the land of the living. May we never, Lord, take it for granted. Never, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be here in your house to worship you and to praise you. Thank you, Lord, so much. We bless your name, Lord, for this beautiful building. And we bless your name, Lord, for the beautiful people who are here this morning, who attend faithfully, and those, Lord, that's listening to this online right now. Bless them, Lord, also tremendously. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I normally like to welcome everyone to the house of God. And today is no different. Welcome. Welcome, all of y'all.
Thank you, Jesus.
All of y'all.
Amen.
Amen. And today, I would like to speak on a message in the Bible that speaks directly about healing. Normally, Tuesday mornings, theme is how to keep your healing. It's a how to keep your healing service, and doesn't always translate to solely speaking about healing, but also different areas of our life that makes us successful, that maintains our health, that teaches us the way of God, to where as though he's able to bless us with such things as good health. But as most of us might know, sometimes health doesn't always come when we ask. It doesn't come right away. There are some people who go years for a long time in the condition that they are. And there are times that the Lord does something, many times, and there are times that the Lord does not. But regardless of the case, I've seen both sides of the coin. I've seen some people fall discouraged, to be dismayed, even leave the faith because of bitterness, because of resentment. And I've also seen other people who continued praising God and going at it strong, no matter what the circumstance might be. And in the book of Luke, Luke records one of the few miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ performed inside of the church. At that time, it was called synagogue. So similar to a church service, just like today. It's the Sabbath, though, just like today. And church service is going on, and a miracle takes place, a healing miracle. And in particular today, we're going to talk about healing, the healing of the stooped woman. You guys are somewhat familiar with the story, I would assume. But nonetheless, we are going to read from God's Word. Luke chapter 13, we're going to start in verses 10. And I'm going to give you guys a few seconds to turn the page. Chapter 13. Luke 13, verses 10. And we're going to cover a block of verses. We're going to go from 10 all the way to 17. I'm ready for the verse, brother. And verses 10 says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. I'm going to come to this part here in just a moment. Verses 14 says, "But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day.' The Lord then answered him and said, 'Hypocrites, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosened from her bond on the Sabbath?' And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Amen. As we can clearly see here, we see a miracle happen on the Sabbath day, and two, not only it's the Sabbath, but it's inside of a church. It's inside of a synagogue. Our Lord's, his Sabbath day miracles picture the purpose of God's plan for us, his people, for God's plan of salvation. The Sabbath incidents recorded in Luke involves our Lord Jesus' lordship over the Sabbath. And this account right now illustrates this very, very plainly. The seventh day, as the Word of God mentions it, is a holy convocation. In case you're wondering what the word convocation means, it means gathering. It means conference. It means united. A bunch of us. A gathering. And this is mentioned, this goes back in the day of Leviticus, when God first spoke about the Sabbath. May I please have Leviticus 23:3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings, everything. In the beginning here it says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy gathering. A holy meeting. What is it trying to imply? You will worship. You will worship God. Not by yourself. Not in your corner. But with a group of people. Convocation. And our Lord Jesus used it to teach God's way. God's purpose. The Sabbath services. Purpose is not, as we typically see now, to entertain. It's not an entertaining service. It's not a light show. It's not a concert. It's not where you come and laugh and everything else, as so many churches seem to be going in this direction nowadays. Nowadays, it almost seems as though churches are very much focused to entertain. They want to make the congregants and people who come happy and happy messages and feel good music and everything else. And I'm not speaking against it. I'm not against it per se. But sometimes there's so much emphasis in entertainment. There's so much emphasis in pleasing, can I just say the term, pleasing a crowd, that it just about removes the holiness out of the Sabbath and the real purpose and meaning, which is true true worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. And they seem to get away from the vital, joyful, true worship of one true God. And that is our God. Our Lord Jesus' adversary closely watched him. Step by step, everything that he did, especially on the Sabbath. And they were doing this in hopes of trying to trap him in some sort of breach of the law. And in their unbelief and perversity, those blind leaders of the blind failed to understand that they were condemning the original giver of the law. That they were supposed to be the religious leader of God's chosen people. Instead, they burdened the people with humanly reasoned restrictions and taboos, as we read in the New Testament, especially in the first 3-4 books of the New Testament. But moving forward right now, I want to bring our attention now to what is happening right now in this very setting. And I want to highlight three things that happened this particular day. For one, how serious is the stoop woman's condition? Luke chapter 13, verses 11, now in verses 11, speaks about how serious it was. Go ahead, Dion. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. 18 years serious. And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, do you consider that serious? I just imagine, sometimes I try to think about it, and I wonder if this woman was ever able to lay on her back. Probably not, wouldn't you say? She probably could only lay on her side and never on her back. And I couldn't imagine how painful it would be for her to just turn from one side to another. These are just things that I see. I try to put myself in a situation. And sometimes I do this so I could understand the severity of what we are reading, or the realness or the trueness or whatever the case might be. This woman has a severe, and some might even say pitiful, physical problem, which she has endured for a very, very long time. In a course of 18 years, a child could grow from being just a toddler to a young adult. In our society of today, 18 years, you're already an adult. Legally, you could make your own decisions. She is bent over completely, completely forward, utterly unable to straighten herself up or look upwards. There could be some of us here this morning who might enjoy the King James Version, or some of you right now listening online. The King James Version says, bowed down. In the version that I read, which is the New King James, it says, bent over. These are terms only found in the New Testament. And it is a medical term indicating a harmful curvature of the spinal vertebrae. Her stooped posture amply illustrates humanity's spiritual condition due to one thing, and that one thing is sin. Sin does not straighten a person up, but bends this individual, him and her, over so all they can see is the way of the world. The sinner, unable to look up towards God's face, cannot remedy his evil plight before being called. And we see testimonies of this, even dating back in the Old Testament. In Psalms chapter 40, verses 12. Psalms 40:12 says, "For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Here we see what sin does to someone. When sin is surrounded from all four corners, the word of the Lord says, my iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. And now he goes a little bit beyond and says, therefore, towards the end of verses 12, it says, therefore, my heart fails me. Here you have several conditions that's being mentioned right now, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. But this woman's stooped condition is so severe that she has no power to straighten herself. And in this weak condition, she is thus unable to help herself. And now, unless our Lord heals her and saves her, the condition is only going to worsen over time. So this is how severe the situation is. The next question I want to ask is, maybe you might have noticed here, what is this spirit of infirmity? What's that all about? And then the next question is, how was she loosened from it? But first I want to speak about part one of this question. What is this spirit of infirmity? Could someone be in church and have a spirit of infirmity? Why, yes. In this particular illustration, we clearly see this. Here we see a woman who, for 18 years, the Bible says that she has a spirit of infirmity. The woman has a strange derangement of the nervous system, having its source in the mind rather than the body. Please understand that. And the Bible right now speaks about the spirit. We all know when we think about, when we speak about the spirit and when we analyze the spirit, it starts from inside of us and it begins with our mind. A spirit of infirmity rather than her body. Her stooped condition results at least partially from psychological instability, which ultimately does one thing, and that is it makes her depressed. Her strange illness then is partly physical and partly mental. In the previous verse that we read here in Psalms 40:12, it says that evil is surrounding me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, then it speaks about his heart. My heart fails me. Do you think that they really mean their physical pumping blood heart? No, it does not. It speaks about their spirit, their inner man, their feelings. So therefore, this is a strange situation. This is a strange illness that no one can heal for 18 years. And now it's become both mental and also a physical issue. And the enemy has had his hand on her disability to the extent that her mind is susceptible to his influence. And her body has malfunctioned, producing a severe case of an unhealthy, hunched condition. Our Lord Jesus' words on verses 16, which says, whom Satan has bound, right? Does not mean that Satan's involvement here is demon possession. Understand that. This is not a demon-possessed woman, but more likely, demon-oppressed. There is a difference between the two. There is a demon oppression, which is an oppression of infirmity, a spirit of infirmity. Dr. Luke does not indicate that our Lord exorcised a demon from her in this one Sabbath day, right? There is no exorcism that happens here, which would have been the case if she was really demon-possessed. Because the Lord has done that before. It's recorded in the Bible. And you know how about he went when it comes to that. But this is not the case here. The enemy oppresses her in a way that affects her physical body. And you know who else had an affliction? Paul. And he acknowledges the fact that the enemy, this came directly from the enemy, Paul, who describes his affliction as the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I spoke about that a couple times in a Sunday morning service. I'll bring it to your attention. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the unbalance of the revelations, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Here's a similar situation that happened to good old Paul, the man Paul. And what was the response from God? That's exactly right. The response from the Lord God was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Or, "My grace is sufficient for you. It's okay. I got you." Do you see a similar situation here? Where here is a churchgoer, someone who's faithfully attending the Sabbath, who is there to worship, who hasn't denied fellowship because of a physical condition. Do you think that she might have prayed for this already? Ask for prayer? I'm pretty sure she did. But nonetheless, 18 years. And now you see a similar situation now with Paul, who was afflicted, as he called it, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. God's people, folks, God's people in every age. Let me use an example right now. For example, Job, for instance, have been aware of the works of the enemy, whom Satan has bound, right? The words of God here in Luke, what our Lord Jesus says, reminds us that the enemy does not free anybody. He only enslaves. Not only does the enemy bow people down, but so do in sinning. This is his work. This is what he does. I'm going to show you three aspects here. First one is going to come from Psalms. These are all Psalm references. Psalms 38, 6, please. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. You see one of the works of the enemy? Do you think this might have something to do, let's say, with depression? I am troubled. Why can't you have peace? Why can't you have fulfillment? Why can't you feel as though you are whole, that you are clean, that you are righteous, that you are holy? Continuing on in verses 6 here, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. Walking with your heads down, hunched over, depressed. I go mourning all the day long. This is work of the enemy, folks. If you're listening right now, please understand the root cause of your situation if this applies to you. The Word of God right now is addressing a mental state that causes you to be in the condition that you are now. Pills is not going to fix it. It's only going to make you go to sleep. It's only going to make you groggy. Pills cannot fix it. The Word of God can. And fixing from the wiles of the enemy, as we see here, the next thing is sorrow. Psalms 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Why am I oppressed? I know better. I know better. I know God's ways. I walk with the Lord. He speaks to me. We are one. Why are you depressed, O my soul? Why is your heart heavy? These are all influences that the enemy has in our lives. And the last one, I want to speak about suffering, which is Psalms 44:25. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Right there, folks. This speaks clearly about suffering. These are all works of the enemy. And if in case you're wondering, how do we overcome all of this? Only God. Only God can set that person free. Only the Lord. While they create the illusion that breaking God's law liberates sin, and the enemy never truly free anyone at all, whatsoever. Sin enslaves you. Sin grabs you and turns you upside down and tears your life apart. And as a result, now you will see evidence of this in your daily walk, in your commute, in your business life, in your social life, your family life. Let me bring to your attention right now John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Let's keep that in mind, folks. Let's keep that in mind. Sometimes people get offended, people get upset at the fact of preachers and counselors and healing ministers to make the notion, to make the comment, the illustration, or to combine the two, a situation, a physical situation, a physical sickness with sin. They get upset. They get all bent out of shape. And that's what not is supposed to be. As the word of the Lord clearly states right now in this one particular occasion, in John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And in reality, evil habits grip people with terrible tenacity. Unbelievers sometimes criticize believers, saying that their church and religious convictions restrict their fun and restricts their freedom. But such an argument is the exact opposite of the truth. Praise God. And now, the final part of this is the question that I want to ask. Does the woman let her infirmity keep her from attending the Sabbath service? Do you ever stop and think about that? Here is a woman that has quite a severe condition. But does that keep her from attending church service? May I please have Luke 13, verses 10 and 11. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on a Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. Right there in church service. Though physically disabled, and I'm also going to say disfigured, by this woman's stooped spine, she, just like the man with the withered hand, have you heard of that story? On Luke chapter 6, just like him, does not allow her problem to keep her from formal worship of God on the Sabbath day. Her physical condition make it very difficult, folks. Very difficult for her to go to the synagogue and simply sit through a church service. Just sit. Just sitting down. It is also humbling for her, since people often feel awkward being around those types of people who are disfigured like that. Would you agree or disagree? I know right now you're trying to be modest. You're trying to be polite and kind. Thank you. But most people, they don't like to sit around certain people. They don't like to sit around someone who might be in a physical condition, in a crippled condition, in some sort of mental disability, whatever the case might be. They feel uncomfortable. They get up and sit somewhere else. And here is a woman here. Here's a fully grown woman who doesn't give any sort of indication that she was mentally handicapped, for instance. But she has a severe physical problem. And it's very apparent that most people would potentially want to stay away from her. But guess what? Besides all these things, this woman still goes to church. She still goes anyway. And now, my last question for you this morning is this. How many blessings do you think people give up when they skip going to church? How many blessings do you think you might be missing out? There are so many blessings that you are doing away with and just leaving them behind, unspoken for, when we actively decide to skip church. When we actively, knowingly decide on our own that I'm not going to go to church today because I'm too tired or it's drizzling outside. Or oh man, I do notice a change in attendance when it's raining outside. You know, I happen to notice these things, maybe because I'm the pastor, but you know, some people don't drive in the rain. Okay, pastor, there's all these people in the road, or whatever the situation might be. How much do you think you might be missing out? Spiritually and physically, folks, we benefit by regularly attending when we come and hear the Word of God and worship Him in His house and worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 23, 24 speaks about that. But the hour is coming, and right now, And now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit, but not just there. It doesn't stop there. But also in truth, in realness, in reality. The Lord is seeking. And when do you think this is applicable, this verse right now? Right now. It's for right now. God is seeking this very moment worshipers to worship Him, to honor and serve Him. But not just in your spirit, not just in your mind inside of you, and just in your prayer closet. Your prayer closet is unity with Him. Is alone time with Him. Is your date night. That's your prayer closet, right? That's oneness with God. That's where I sharpen myself. That's when I hear from Him. That's when I receive enlightenment, instructions. This is where He guides me. But I need time to praise and honor Him and glorify His name, also in truth. And this woman learns that the best help she can give her body is to be first concerned about her spiritual health. She understands that concept. Regardless of what people say about me and talk about me, and they say all these Pharisees and all these C's, right, are pointing the fingers and they're judgmental and they want to know what type of sin I've committed to have inherited or have received this illness, abstracted this illness. It does not matter. I don't care what they say. I'm going to go and worship. I don't care if people are staring at me all the time. I'm going to go to the house of God. And in the midst of my pain, I will worship. And she understood this concept that her spiritual health is far more important than her physical health. Imagine if she had not been concerned enough about her spiritual needs to be in the synagogue that day in spite of her condition. Imagine. Think about that. She would never have been healed. Our Lord would have never been able at the time to pick up a telephone and pray for her over the phone or done FaceTime, right? Or been in a Zoom call. No. She would have missed her blessing. She would have missed her healing from an infirmity from 18 years, for 18 years. If she had not been in the synagogue that day. And I find that to be beautiful. Just beautiful. And this passage here, this particular section, where this woman, where the Lord comes, well, actually, our Lord instructs her to come to Him and tells her, He doesn't ask her, are you involved in sin? Have you confessed your sins to God? No. He doesn't question her. He doesn't grill her. Like sometimes we say, ice grill him. No. He sees her heart. He sees her intentions. And He just goes straight to the point. Woman, you have been healed from your infirmities. Right on the spot. And instantly, she is healed. And I'm going to leave you this morning with this verse from our Lord Jesus, directly from His mouth. A promise from our God to every single one of us. It's one of my favorite passages. It's one of my favorite passages because it's true. And I live it. And I continue to live it every single day. And that comes from Matthew 6:33. The words of our Lord, as He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek you first, brothers and sisters. His grace, His mercy, His kindness, His face, His presence. Seek Him first. Make Him a priority. And watch how the Lord is going to reward your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. The title to this morning's service is The Benefits of Attendance. The Benefits of Attendance. This is, we often say, this is where you find your healing. This is where you find wellness, wholeness, deliverance. Where you find the answer to the question you are looking for. To the question you have, I'm sorry, the answer you're looking for. It's here in God's house. It's in this place. The presence of God is in this place. The Lord is here every single service. Do not miss out on your miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we worship you. And Lord, as I just finished saying a little while ago, thank you, Lord, for this house. Thank you, Lord, for your house, Lord, here, where we can come freely and worship without any sort of harassment, Lord, from the government or people or anything, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your angels protect the four corners of this property against COVID-19 and against everything else that might manifest itself in here. It is gone in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, so much for the power of your blood, the power of your holy name that we depend on, that we rely on. Thank you, Lord, so much. May we believe, Lord, your word 100%. With all that your word says, may we always, Lord, worship you. Not only in just in spirit, Lord, but also in truth, in wholeness, in meekness, in sincerity. Thank you, Lord, so much. Once again, Lord, I say, I love you. And we say, we love you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.